1 Kings chapter 18. I'll begin reading at verse number 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. We'll be preaching through some of this that we've read and beyond this morning. But thinking about revival and thinking about the change that must take place in a land, if a land is going to have revival, or among a people, if a people or a nation is going to have a revival, and even if individuals are going to experience that personal revival. And there are things that we look at, and I believe it needs more than a revival. It needs what the old timers used to call an awakening. That's those that are completely in darkness and completely lost that need to be wakened up, amen, by the power of God. That is definitely needed in the day and the time that we live in. Revival is for God's people. And I understand that. It means to live again, to be stirred again. And amen? That's what that means. But an awakening is for those that have never been brought to life. Amen? And we need an awakening. There's a lot of awakenings that happened in the Bible, and a lot of revivals that had happened in the Bible. You think about the days of John the Baptist. There were both. There were the awakening, and then there was the revival. Amen? The awakenings of so many that had sat in darkness finally saw a great light. Amen. That's what awaken means, to be in darkness, to be dead, to realize that they're dead. Amen. And a person that's dead cannot get up. He must be resurrected. He must be brought to life by the power of another. There's not but one has that power today, and that's Christ. We need our Lord, amen, to awaken people. here in the First Kings. We have this. It's a part of an awakening and part of a revival, part of the awakening for those that were completely given over to Baal. But then that nation that he gave them this great statement, how long halt ye between two opinions? It's one of the greatest revival verses. He said, if Baal's God, then you go ahead and you serve him. But if the Lord is God, then serve him. Listen, the Lord had already proven he was God. Here he is having to prove himself again to a generation that had forgotten. They had forgotten what God was able to do and that the Lord Jehovah was God. Amen. Listen, I think that's the time and the place we need revival most is when we begin to forget just how big God is. We don't reverence Him the way that we one time did. Amen? We don't follow His, He said, in to keep His commandments. He had told them, if He's the Lord, then keep His commandments. Amen? I mean, if God has said something, surely we should do that, shouldn't we? Oh, yes. And so he was accused by Ahab that he was the one that troubled Israel. He said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. And here's how. In that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, thou followed Balaam. Two things the king in Israel had done. Ahab, he had forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And he had followed Balaam. Think about that. I mean, the truth about the trouble is it's not the man of God. That's what they wanted to say. They wanted to say that Elijah was the trouble. He's the one making trouble. Amen. Preaching hard the way he does, telling us that we can only serve God, telling us that there are things we're doing that's a sin, things we're doing that's an abomination. That was his job. Amen. To speak what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Elijah didn't have words of his own. He was always speaking that the word of the Lord came to him and spoke to him saying, amen. Any real man of God, listen, that's not where the trouble's coming from. The trouble's coming from them that have turned against the Lord and that have served and followed Balaam. They're following after sin, after the world, after false religion. Amen? I mean, look, there were 450 prophets of Baal. And then there were another 400 prophets of the grove. Amen? Those groves where they had set up those altars to Baal and their strange gods. They had prophets. All these different gods and all these different prophets, 400 of them. The interdenominational, that's what they were, amen. The interdenominational crowd, amen. They were all a little different, but they were all not serving God, I promise you that. Amen. And then the prophets of Baal, 450. And then you had one man of God. Right. Yeah. He said, I'm the only one. Wow. Can you think about that? 850 prophets preaching their prophecies, preaching their ways, and all of it's a bunch of junk. All of it's false. All of it's taking people away from God. And that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to take people away from the true Lord, the true and the living God. But real revival, that'll bring people back to God. Amen. That'll bring people back to the truth. Yes, it will. It'll bring people back to the ways of God. To the old paths, that's right. Amen. To the new and living way that Christ said. A way of life. A way that brings people, will awaken them. Amen. He told those prophets of Baal, he said, let them get two bullocks. Let the people come. All the people of Israel. He wanted them all to see. He said, go get them and bring them all down here. I want them all to see this. Either Baal's going to be God today or the Lord's going to be God. He said, I'm tired of this milling around with the world. Amen. I'm tired of people going up to these groves and forsaking God. Tired of coming to the Lord's house and prayer time. Amen. And nobody's there. That's what Elijah was in. Everybody was off doing what they were loving to do. Amen. And enjoying what they were doing. He said, get everybody down here. Which is an amazing thing. I remember one time I was pastoring another church over. It was Dry Creek, actually. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, I kept telling them on this first Sunday of this month, I said, y'all make sure that everybody's here because God's got something special that He wants everybody to hear. And I said, it's going to be a big day. I said, now you make sure that you're here and you get everybody here. I mean, that went on week after week. I want to tell you something. When it come that day, I was hoping for a big crowd. About half of them showed up. I mean, it's a miracle that He got them all down there. That's what I'm saying. Amen? But He did. And He said, they're going to bring us two bullocks. And He said, you cut yours in pieces and lay it on the wood. And He said, put no fire under it. Don't you put no fire under it. They were bad to run those like gas pipes under the altar. Amen. To light it up at their whim. And make it look like a shade. He said, don't put no fire. Don't put no fire under it. And he said, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock. You get to choose the one you want. Don't say, well, he gave us a bad one. No, you choose the one you want. Choose. Look it over. Look it over real good. I don't want there to be anything to be said that somebody interfered. And he said, choose for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. There's a lot of us, boys. You ought to be able to get this right now. Make sure it's exactly what Baal wants. If there's anything goes on that shouldn't remind one another, there's a lot of yins. Yins all are entrenched in Baal worship. Make sure it's done right for him. Call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. Again, he mentions, Don't you put no fire under it. And they took the bullock, verse 26, which was given them. They dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets. See, right here's another verse. You ought not be cutting on yourself. That's what Baal worshipers do. They cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. That's what they were wanting to do, bring their own personal blood out. And it came to pass, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. One of the first signs of revival is when the altar is being repaired. The altar is a great part of what God wants in worship. Are you listening to me? This altar right here that we have is much a part of our worship of our God. And we cannot forsake God's altar. Amen? He said this has got to be repaired. This altar has got to be put in the way that God would have it. Remember the altar of God. It's the place where prayer is brought. It's the place where sacrifice is made. It's the place where we call upon the name of God. It's the place where God answers back. So Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, one for each tribe. And he said, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. The stones are the identity of the foundation tribes. Are you listening to me? It was them that were, they were the identity of each stone. Each stone for each tribe. Each stone for each son. It meant their identity. And that's what the altar was built on. It was built upon their identity. That the Lord had called them and made them one and made them Israel. What I'm trying to say is here, we've got to get ourselves on the altar. Amen? It should be the very foundation of our worship to God. our time, our bodies spent on God's altar. And he with the stones he built the altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. See, this sacrifice is called a burnt sacrifice, but this is fresh meat laying there. You talk about faith. This is the burnt sacrifice. You see that? Faith in the altar. Faith in the sacrifice that's on the altar. This is the burnt offering. That fresh cut meat laying on that wood stacked just a certain way. On top of those rocks. Amen? This is the burnt offering. There hadn't been no fire put to it yet. This is the burnt offering. Did you see that? It took faith to say that. This is God's burnt offering. Amen. This is what God said to do. And he told him, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. Anybody else thinking of what 3 times is? It's a picture of a lot of things. 3 days Jesus got up. 3, it speaks of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. These 3 are one. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I didn't do this myself. I did this because, God, you said do it.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Everything that those guys had done, it was because that's what they did. It ain't because their God showed up or their God said anything. Their God couldn't even talk to them. I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. No more Baal. The Lord, He is God. Twice, the Lord, He is God. Bowing upon their faces, what they were doing was submitting again before the Lord. Submitting. That's revival. Do you know that? Submitting to the Lord God. He is the Lord God. You know what it means to say He is the Lord God? Lord has to do with His reverence and Him being over us. His lordship over us as what He says goes. He is the Lord God. Amen. He's not just a God that we pray to and send our prayer up in the wind. And He don't never require anything back from us. There are a lot of people think that serving God, you know, He's up there doing His thing, we're down here doing our thing. No, God is very much interested in being involved in your everyday life. Amen. God's got some things that He wants you to do if you're His. That's right. God wants us to live. Amen. And the only way to really live is to live for Him. To live for the Lord God, the one true God, the God, to worship Him, to be the kind of person your life is spent in worship of God. Amen. The very way you live worships God. Are you listening? The very way you live identifies you with God. He is the Lord God. He is the Lord God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Elijah, the man of God, he was the one, took that responsibility to kill out the falseness in the land. He didn't say, boys, you better get out of here. No, he slew them. Why? Because he knows, the man of God knows, listen, just how wicked truth is and what it does to God. The untruth, what I mean. How wicked untruth is. Are you listening? Anything but the truth. What it does to the people of God. Amen. And Elijah, he took them and slew them. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. There hadn't been no rain. He spared the king, even though, listen, his wife, listen, God have mercy, she had been bringing those prophets into her house and feeding them. And well, that's how they got hooked up with Ahab and Jezebel. They would tell Ahab anything. They had itching ears. They turned Ahab and Jezebel's ears from the truth. They tell them anything they wanted to hear. That's what false prophets, false truth is today. They tell you anything you want to hear. The truth, a lot of times, is something you may not want to hear. But it's the truth. And it's best for us. The truth makes us free. Amen? We need reviving. We need God to stir us. We need God to put us back on the altar again. We need to recognize who God is again. Amen. Amen. We need to so desperately not identify with anything but the Lord God. Amen. I want you to stand this morning. I'm done.